blessed, and what it means to be blessed, and what the Scripture says defines a blessed man. And this morning I want to stay with that theme as we continue to study in that regard, and out of chapter number 13 of the book of Matthew, in chapter number 13 of Matthew, in verse number 16. Then we're going to read a lot of Scripture in chapter 2 of the book of Luke. But chapter 13 and verse 16 of Matthew is where we'll take our text. So we'll read that, if you will, stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 16. We'll read that, and then you can be seated. We'll proceed to Luke chapter 2 in just a moment, where we'll spend much of the message. But the Word of the Lord says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, in our text, the people had asked Jesus why He spoke to His people in parables. His answer was that some might hear the illustrations and understand, while others who would reject the gospel would become resistant to the truths that He spoke. And it was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah that they would hear and not understand. They would see and not believe. And then He gave them our text. "But blessed are ye, for your eyes, for they see, and for your ears, for they hear." Then in Luke chapter 2, we read about two in the temple who did see and who did hear, and I want to show you how blessed that they were. You can be seated this morning. I'll spend much time reading in Luke chapter 2, and I'll not ask you to stand for the duration of it. But Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 22, if you want to follow along with us, we find in when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout." This is one of the two whose eyes did see and whose ears did hear. And the Bible said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I'm liking Simeon already, just from what I know in verse 25. He's hanging around the house of God waiting to see what the Lord's going to do. He's just waiting to see the consolation of Israel. That is, the peace of God that was brought unto men. And by the way, you realize that when the angel said, "Peace, goodwill toward men," we hear that given in this day in context of, as if it were peace. That is, without war. That is, without fighting amongst people. But he didn't say peace among men or peace between men. He said peace, goodwill toward men. That wasn't about two men having peace between themselves or a group of men having peace among themselves. That was about God sending peace toward us. It's not about peace between man and man, but peace between God and man. And Christ is our peace. He is our consolation. He is, my friend, what brings joy unto our hearts. And verse 26 said, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child of Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." By the way, when Simeon shows up, I don't believe this is the first time he's ever come to the temple. I don't think this is the first time he's ever worshipped. But the Lord has made him a promise that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And this particular morning, he came by the Spirit to the temple. I don't know if it was that he hadn't planned on going into the temple that day, but he felt a specific urge of the Holy Ghost to go down there. It was not necessarily the Sabbath day. It wasn't necessarily the day of prayer. But that morning he felt a special move of God in his heart to get down to the house of God. That something special is going to happen down at the house of the Lord. Oh, friend, hey, I wonder, did you feel a move of the Lord this morning? Did you feel a stir of God that something special is going to happen at the house of God? And you know what special angel happened at the house of God, the Lord has showed up. Every time the Lord shows up in the midst of His people, there's something special happening down at the house of God. And he was driven, or he was led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Isn't that a blessing? As soon as he got Jesus in his hand, as soon as he got Jesus in his presence, he began to worship the Lord. I'll tell you, if we'd have Jesus in our presence, it'd be just the right thing to do, to worship the Lord this morning. "I wish thou hast prepared before the face of all people a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which it shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was one, Anna. Now listen, my oldest girl's name is not just Grace or Gracie. Her name is Anna Grace. And here she is, the lady that we have called her name from in the Scriptures. And there was one Anna, which means full of grace, by the way. And that's a pretty good name to have, being full of grace. Amen. I thank God that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And this woman's name said she was full of grace. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, I don't know if she was 84 years old or if she had been widowed for 84 years. I get the feeling that she had been a widow for 84 years. And if that's the case and was married for 7 years, that makes 91 years. If she was 20 years old when she got married, that puts her at 111 years old. That's on up there in age. And so it said, "Which departed not from without the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Israel. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And now in our text we read from Matthew 13:16, he said, "Blessed are you, for your eyes that do see, and because your ears do hear." I want to preach, if the Lord will help us this morning, on blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Amen. Amen. And my friend, in Luke 2, we read about two that did see and that did hear. They're at the temple, at the house of the Lord. Now, there had been some great things that had happened at this temple. This is not the first temple. This is not Solomon's temple. That was torn down and it then had to be rebuilt after the years in Babylonian captivity. But then this temple was rebuilt, and Herod had poured millions and millions of dollars into adorning this temple and into constructing this place. I mean, it was a special place, and some spectacular things had happened in this temple. I mean, in this place, a friend, it was there that Gabriel had the angel, the archangel of God had come and had frightened that man Zacharias, telling him about the upcoming birth of John the Baptist. It was in this same temple, my friend, that Herod had adorned with great majesty and wealth. 46 years in construction. It was a place that the disciples sought to show off. How my friend, our Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse number 1, some very special things had happened in this temple. It was a place, my friend, we find, matter of fact, in the correctly, it was a place of commerce in John chapter 2. It was a busy place. It was a place where they had a beautiful gate. It was a place where people congregated every day of the week. It was an attraction for all that came to Jerusalem. And no doubt people all over the nation have special memories about their trips to that temple. But my friend, nothing had happened in that place that even begins to measure with what happened in that place in Luke chapter number 2. Amen. When this baby was brought in, and the amazing thing is that this was a large facility, and there was always things happening all over the place at the temple, and I'm certain that there was a great crowd there that day in the temple. Matter of fact, we find Anna testifying to many of them, and talking to them, and telling them, and my friend is speaking to all of them that look for the redemption of my friend of the Lord in Jerusalem in this chapter. Oh, but isn't it remarkable how, with all that great crowd there was only two that saw, there were only two that heard, there were only two that understood. Are you listening to me this morning? Isn't it amazing how many times we come to church and the folks come in and out and everybody sings the same songs and everybody hears the same sermon and everybody attends the same Sunday school lesson and my friend, everybody has the same altar call, but not everybody hears and not everybody sees and not everybody experiences a move of the Lord. Oh my friend, but blessed are the eyes that see, blessed are the ears that hear. I'm telling you, church this morning is more than just coming and going and coming and going. And church, my friend, is more, and this Christmas service is more than just bells that have been rung and my friend, carols that have been sung. But it's about hearing the voice of the Lord. It's about seeing a move of God. And blessed are they that didn't just attend. And blessed are they that didn't just show up. Blessed are they that didn't just dress up pretty and nice and look acceptable and attractive. But blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. How blessed are they that experience the move of the Lord. How wonderful, friend, are you just going through the repetition of another Christmas season? It's a shame. It's a crying shame and a disgrace that there will be many families that will gather around in this holiday season supposed to be set aside for the celebration of the birth of our Lord. And yet, while they gather around, they'll drink their liquor and they'll fuss and fight with one another and carry on. And they'll give gifts and not one mention will even be given to the Lord's name. I mean, they go through things. They see the coming and the going. They see the crowds, the hustle and the bustle. They see the business like the crowd did at the temple that day. But they don't see Jesus. And they don't hear from heaven. Well, but blessed are they that see. Blessed are they that hear. Well, I'm glad I know more, my friend, than a Christmas tree and a fat man in a red suit. I'm glad I know more than flying reindeer and snowflakes. Amen. I'm glad I know a Jesus. I know a Savior that came from heaven. And I'm blessed for my eyes have seen. Now hear salvation. I'm blessed for my heart has heard His voice. I'm blessed because I've experienced His power. And blessed are they that see and hear from heaven.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
and amen to God forevermore. And so I'm trying to preach this morning on blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. And so let me say, give you four things this morning and a couple of things about each of these things. First of all, what or why did they see? If there's a whole crowd of people there, Brother Matthew, why did just two of these people see? They weren't the only ones that saw Mary and Joseph and Jesus coming in the door. They weren't the only ones, no doubt, that saw them walk into the temple that day. But why did they see something, and my friend, that the others didn't see? Hey, you ever have somebody say something like this to you? I just don't see why y'all have to do all of that. I just don't see why that y'all have to act that way. I just don't see any need in all those things that you're doing. I just don't see why that you go to church so much. I just don't see nothing wrong with all them things that you're telling me you don't do no more. Somebody help me out now. Anybody ever heard that from their family, friends, neighbors, out of in-laws? Amen. I've heard all of those things, but everybody don't see. Amen. Thank God. Why did they see, but others didn't see? Well, friend, I want to say it because they were prepared to see. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 says of a Simeon that he was just, he was devout, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Simeon didn't just show up at the temple one morning for the first time. I've never been where God was. Never studied anything about God. Had never prayed in his life. Oh no. He was prepared to see. I wonder, are you prepared to see this morning? Have you put yourself in a place where God can open your eyes? He said, if you'll seek me, I'll be found of you. I wonder, are you prepared to see? Somebody said, I just don't know what God's doing. I can't see where God does anything. Maybe you ain't ready to see yet. And maybe you just need to get prepared. I mean, let God open your eyes. Let Him work in your life. Let Him reveal Himself unto you. The revelation comes according to the book of Isaiah. A precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Amen. Somebody said, I just don't see how it all works out. Blind folks ain't supposed to see. Amen. You gotta have the Lord open your blinded eyes that you may see. Oh yes, they weren't prepared to see. But Simeon was prepared to see. Hey, thank God he had some spiritual perception. He and Anna, by the way, were both elderly people who had spent their lives serving the Lord and serving others. As somebody said, I'm old in years. I'm just not able to do what I used to do. I believe a woman is 111 years old. My guess is that she wasn't able to do what she used to be able to do. You know what she was able to do? She was able to pray. She was able to get prepared to see. And when she saw, she was able to tell somebody else about it. I mean, here I am 2,000 years later, and I'm still preaching about Anna. All the rest of that crowd there that is young, that is strong, that is able-bodied, I'm not even preaching about them this morning, but I'm preaching about Anna. Hey, friend, I don't care if you're young or if you're old. Get prepared to see. And blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Whoever you may be, amen. Oh, they're up in years, and my friend, they were seeking the Messiah. They had asked to see His signs, and that their hearts were ready to receive what God had prepared for them that day. A lot of other folks came to the temple that day to see the signs. They came to see the splendor. They came to see the decorations. They came to see the crowd. They came to see, my friend, the majesty. They came to see the wealth. They came to hear the preacher, but they didn't come to see the Lord. And Simeon and Anna came to see the Lord. I wonder what you showed up for this morning. Did you come to see the Christmas poinsettias? I don't even know if these are real or not. My friend, the world sometimes it's not real Jews are the better ones because they don't make as big a mess. Amen. I mean, did you come to see the poinsettias and shake hands with folks? Did you come to hear the bell choir? Did you come to listen to two before preacher? Or did you come this morning to see Him? Did you come to see the Lord? Did you come to hear from heaven? Blessed are they that see. Blessed are they that hear. Amen. Oh yes, why did they see this? Prepared to see. I want to say they saw because they were praying. They were praying. Amen. And as ready to receive what God had prepared for them that day. Anna was married 7 years, had been a widow for 84 years. It would appear that she's somewhere 105 to 115 years old. And that she had spent the last 84 years of her life in a ministry of prayers for others. What a prayer warrior and what a blessing that is. A friend in verses 37 and 38. It would appear that she knew this was going to happen on her way to the temple. For in an instant she declared this to be the darling Son of God. As she may have been praying on the way in that morning and felt a nudge from another world and said, today will be the day. What you've been looking for, it's going to happen today. What you've been praying about, it's going to happen today. And not many times in my life have I felt that way coming to church, Brother Bob. But there's been a few times I've turned that corner over there, Middle Academy Road, and the Holy Ghost has squeezed my heart and say, today's the day. That thing you've been praying for, you wait and see what I do today. Amen. One Saturday afternoon, I felt the Lord have pressing on my heart and saying, this is what I want you to preach on. And I want you to preach to your little girl. She's lost and she needs to get saved. I never felt that way before in my life, Brother John. And I preached that morning. And she came to the altar. But God wouldn't even give me liberty to pray with her. And she couldn't get to her. She couldn't get any victory. And she went back to her seat. And I thought on the way home, Lord, I thought today was going to be that day. That evening, Brother Scott preached out of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken unto us by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. And she came back to the altar that night and she prayed and she got victory. And on the way home, all I could do was say, thank you, Lord, that today was the day. I mean, on the way to church that morning, it seemed like the Lord spoke to Anna and said, today is going to be the day the Lord led Simeon to the temple and said, today is going to be the day. Well, friend, I wonder, have you been praying? Have you been seeking God enough that today, if it were the day, that you'd be in communication with the Lord and He'd tell you today is going to be the day? You wait and see what special thing that I have in store for you. They were praying. That's why they saw. Oh, she may have been praying on the way in and felt the leadership that today would be the day. If we pray faithfully, it's remarkable what God will do in us. Why did they see? They were prepared to see. They were praying. I want to say they saw because they were present. Amen. They were present. Neither of them would have seen what they saw had they not been in attendance that day at the house of God. Amen. Some of these days I'm going to preach on this passage of Scripture on a little old woman who lived in a pew. Amen. How about that? Some of you remember the old woman who lived in a shoe had so many children she didn't know what to do. And so she gave them all broth and a piece of bread and whipped them all soundly and sent them to bed. Amen. I quote that to my girls all the time. But I don't say whip them all soundly. I say beat the ever living daylights out of them. I told them they better get in the bed. Oh my. But someday I'm going to preach out of this passage on a little old woman that lived in a pew. Thank God for the little women that's lived in the pews and that's prayed faithfully. And it's been a blessing to me and an example. And my friend, the old men of God that have been present, that's been a help to me, that have given an example of how to live for God. It's clear this was not the first time these two had been to the temple.
up, and then they went back home and nothing happened. It was just routine. On the way home, Satan said, I have tempted them, saying, I what you're doing silly. I just wouldn't go back no more. There's no need. Nothing important's going to happen anyway. You do just as well at home as you would down at that place. But they stayed faithful. And this sweet morning when they got to the temple, the Lamb of God come walking in the place. Oh, friend, they were present. If they had not been present, they would not have seen.
But they were present. Why did they see? Because they were prepared. They were praying. They were present. What did they see? They saw salvation in verse 30. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen. This word salvation means a defense, a refuge, a protector. Everybody else looked at Jesus and they saw a defenseless and a helpless baby. Simeon looked at Jesus and he says, there's my protector. That's the one that's defending me. You'd think if an infant's the one defending you, you're going to be in bad trouble. When the enemy shows up, you mean you counting on them to take care of you? When I was just a little boy, my dad worked out of town an awful lot. And he'd build bridges all over, and sometimes for 2 years or three at a time, he'd be gone from Monday through Friday and only be home on the weekends. And it's just a little lad, a boy, Brother John. I was the only boy around the house. And I'd tell Mom when you get up, I know Dad's not here. Here I am, not even starting school yet. I know Dad's not here, but if something happens, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. Boy, now that'd work out real good, won't it? I mean, friend, how everybody else is looking, and all they see is a helpless baby boy. That Simeon looked at him, and he said, that's my defense. That's the captain of my salvation. That's my deliverer right there. That's my protector. He'll rescue us. Saw a helpless baby. Simeon saw a mighty God. Others saw a little child. Simeon saw a great big Savior. I'll tell you why, friend, what the world sees. At Christmas time, they see a baby in a manger. But what the saint of God sees is a king on the throne. He's high and lifted up. And blessed are they that see. And blessed are they that hear.
Amen.
Amen. He's our protector, our Savior, our refuge, our protector from sin, Satan, and self. He was prepared before all the face of all the people, according to verse 31. But all people didn't see it. And my friend, but Simeon saw it. He is prepared. All can see it. All is available unto them. I mean, he said, let whomsoever will come. But not everybody will see it. And not everybody will receive it. And not everybody will hear. And not everybody will have it. But I'm so glad he's my Lord.
What did they see? They saw salvation. They saw a shining light in verse 32. He said, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. And John chapter 1 verse 4 said this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath his light shined. Isaiah 49 and 6 says, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 said, in him is light, and there is no darkness at all. And verse 7 said, if we
walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And when He saw the Savior, He saw a shining light. He saw salvation. I want to say, when He saw Him, He saw a sword. In verse number 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. He's speaking to Mary, it said in verse 34, as Simeon saw the great grief that this mother would face as her son would suffer on Calvary. Hidden perhaps in this prophecy is that Joseph wouldn't be there to see this boy die on Calvary. He didn't speak of Joseph's grief. It would appear that Joseph died a mile before Christ reached adulthood. But Mary stood at the foot of the cross, and as the spear pierced through the side of our Lord, a sword pierced, a sword of grief piercing His mother's heart also. It's remarkable how that any time a person sees the Lord Jesus Christ, He always has compassion for others that they face along the way. As Simeon sees Jesus, and immediately he cares about his family. Immediately he cares about his loved ones. Immediately he's sensitive to the grief of others. I tell you, folks that see and that hear, they care about people. They have love one for another. It's a sign that we're His disciples, that we love one another. And Simeon, when he saw Jesus, he saw a sword. He saw the sorrow that his mother faced.
Right.
People that just don't care, that just flat out don't care about the suffering and the sorrow of others, do not have the grace of God abiding in their hearts. Amen. He saw salvation. He saw a shining light. He saw a sword. He saw a Savior. He saw a Savior. Verse 38. Anna, when she came in, instantly, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise of the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna immediately began to tell about the redemption this child would bring. The response of most women to the sight of a newborn baby would be to look for family resemblance. You don't try to figure out, does he look like this one or that one? Maybe to ogle over how beautiful the young eyes are, or how cute the little fingers are, dimples, and so forth in their face. And my friend, hey, or to rejoice with the mother on the health of the child and the mom. But when I saw this baby, she said nothing about his hair. She said nothing about his weight or his size. She said nothing about the things that normally folks would notice about a baby boy. But when she saw him, she saw a Savior. When she saw him, she saw redemption. When she saw him, she saw her Lord. Oh, I wonder, friend, hey, does he hold beauty to you? Have you looked at him naturally? Isaiah said there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. How surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Oh, friend, but listen to me. That old rugged cross has a wondrous attraction to me. For 'twas on that old cross that Jesus suffered and died to pardon and to sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and I'll trade it someday for a crown. I see much more than a baby. I see much more than a natural eye to see. He's our Savior. He's my Lord. He's my very best friend. When I was on the bottom, He picked me up out of the miry clay, out of the pit, and put my feet on a solid rock, and my feet established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth. And now I must say that I love Him. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me way up high and set my feet upon the mountaintop. God. I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad He's mine. I'm His today. How blessed are they that see.
She saw a Savior. Why did they see? What did they see? Then notice how we will see. We'll see by faith. John 14:19. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. Oh yes, we see by faith. That's exactly right. Oh, I bless His high and holy name. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We're seeing by faith. Hebrews 11 said of Moses that he continued seeing Him who is invisible. How about that? How you know what makes us strange to the world? We see the invisible. We believe the impossible. We accept the heavenly into an earthly being. Amen. Oh yes, friend. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. And that's the only way you'll obtain a good report. And that's the only way you'll see. That's the only way you'll hear. It's by faith. By faith. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You want to see? It's by faith. You want to experience God? It's by faith. You want to know the truth? It's by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But if you'll ask, you shall receive. And if you seek, you'll find. And if you'll knock, it'll be open unto you. He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And he that knocketh, it is open unto him. I tell you, friend, hey, and with him nothing will be impossible. It is by faith that we see.
It is by faith.
How are you going to see and how are you going to hear? It's by faith. I want to say it's through purity in heart. Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. How are you going to get pure in heart? Problem is, the very best you can do is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Amen. How are you going to have a pure heart? You're going to have to get your heart fixed. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord can fix your heart. He knows how to wash away your sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure is defined as the absence of the corrupt and the presence of the pure. Were it only the absence of the corrupt, it'd just be empty. Amen. That sense it also is the presence of the pure. I mean, if all you were to do was to clean up and clean out, you still couldn't put the pure back in. But I'm glad Jesus will wash the sin away and put salvation where sin had been. Put the Holy Ghost where the spirit of the devil was. And my friend, put purity into your life and you can see God.
Amen.
By faith, through purity in heart. Psalm 24:3. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. How will we see and hear? By faith, by purity in heart. We'll see and hear by answer to prayers. That's 2 Corinthians 6. When they all came against Elisha, and he thought he was surrounded, and he was, by a host of soldiers, he told his servant, he said, don't be afraid, for there's more of us than what there is of them. And that old fellow thought, now there ain't no way they but to us. And there's a whole host of soldiers. And he got down and he prayed and he said, now you go look again. And while he was going, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he came back and said, the soldier's still there, but there's a band of angels above them. Oh, my friend, hey, while and his servant was seeing, the band of soldiers went blind. Amen. The Lord knows how to open the blinded eyes, and He knows how to blind the open eyes. Oh, that's exactly right. In answer to prayer, somebody said, what am I going to do for my youngest, my grand youngest, my neighbors, my mom, my dad, my friends that don't
That's right. They were asking Jesus, why? You teach in these parables, these illustrations, almost would seem sometimes cryptic messages. Messages that we know there's meaning to, but we don't understand them. We have to ask you what they mean, and then you explain them. Why do you do this way? He said, so that they that will hear, will hear. And so that they that will not hear, their ears will be shut, their hearts will be hardened, and they'll turn away. It's about separating those who will and who will not receive the Lord. Did you know every sermon preached, Brother Matthew, that we preach is for that purpose? It's not to open every heart. It's to present the gospel. And when the gospel is presented, it opens some and it closes others. That same sun that melts the snow also hardens the clay. The same sermon, the same gospel that pricks the heart of some and causes them to repent, hardens the heart of others and causes them to leave. Amen. That's right. And I can't decide who that person is. All I can do is preach the gospel. But what I'm telling you is, if I'll preach and if you'll pray, God has a way of opening the blinded eyes. Oh, hey, they asked the man, said, who is this that came by and opened your eyes? He said, it was Jesus, he said. They said, oh, don't you know he's a sinner? And he said, sinner or not, I don't know. Well, but this I know, whereas I once was blind, now I see. Oh, yes, friend. Somebody said, I just don't see what all the importance is and what y'all doing down there. I didn't used to, but I'm so glad I see this morning. Woo! I'm glad he opened up my blinded eyes. How one day, oh yes, and forgave my sin. And by the eye of faith, I'm walking. Hey, man, and headed to a better place, to a city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm glad I'm his and he's mine forever.
Amen.
And you know what I'm doing? I'm praying, why don't you come along and go with me? Amen. Amen. How will we see it here? Then finally, I'm closing with this. What are the results? When you see, when you hear, when you're blessed to see and hear, what are the results? I want to say the result is you'll have humility. Ain't nobody seeing and hearing and strutting their feathers around, showing everybody how awesome that they are. Not if you're seeing and hearing the God of the Bible, you're not. Amen. Isaiah sees the Lord. Matter of fact, in the first five chapters, if you'll read Isaiah, now he's already God's man, but in the first five chapters, all he does is talk to God's people like they're a bunch of dogs. Their whole head is sick, the whole body is faint. He talks to them about how rotten they are, how that God ought to wipe them off the map. He said, matter of fact, you ought to have been like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord just annihilated you. Isn't that right? First couple of chapters of Isaiah. How sorry, low down you are. Said your sins are like scarlet. They're red like crimson. He said, why in the world would God even whip you anymore? I said, your whole head full of sores and bruises and putrefying sores. You're all cankered up and sick. And the sight of God said, you're dumber than a farm animal in chapter 1. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib. But my people doth not know, Israel doth not consider. He preaches to them like they're a bunch of dogs. After the first chapter, and the first five chapters of Isaiah, but something happens in chapter 6. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And Isaiah didn't say then, Lord, I was glad you're here. I've been meaning to tell you how sorry this whole country is. Oh no. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. I tell you, if you'll really see the Lord, you'll quit beating up everybody else to match and find you a place to humble yourself down and say, Lord, it's not my brother and it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Well, yes, and he humbled himself and found himself broken before the Lord. Oh, he sent those angels over there unto the fires on the coals of the altar. And that normally be judgment, but he was tempered by the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. And he touched at the old Isaiah's lips, and it didn't burn him, but it burned all the nastiness out of him. And
He said, now whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. What will I do? He says. He said, go preach. How long do I preach? Preach till the trees are gone. Preach till the houses are without inhabitants. Quit telling everybody how sorry they are. Realize that the longer you preach, the fewer of them's going to listen. But preach anyway. And love my people. And tell them what I tell you to tell them. Oh, when you see God, it'll give you a sense of humility.
There's no space for cockiness. There's no space for self-centeredness in the presence of God. He did what he did. 1 Corinthians 1 said that no flesh could glory in his presence. What are the results? Humility. What are the results? Worship. Mark chapter 9, when the three of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, go up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. There he prays and they fall asleep. When they wake up and he's standing there speaking to the glory in his glorified body, speaking to Elijah and Moses having descended from heaven to talk to him. And while they're talking about his impending death, Peter wakes up and the first thing he said is, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And he got that right. Amen. Oh, amen. Thank God to be in the presence of the glorified Lord. Blessed are they that see. He saw. And the first thing he wanted to do was worship the Lord. How my faith. And folks that say they're saved, but they don't like worship service, really worry me. I mean, when you get saved, you'll want to love on Jesus. You'll want to worship the Lord. You'll want to serve Him. You'll want to praise Him. Amen. Hey, what are the results? Humility. Worship. What are the results? Submission. Submission. Revelation chapter 1. And in verse 17, John said, I saw Him. And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not. For I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And had the keys of death and hell. However, when John saw him, he fell at his feet. He became absolutely and totally submitted to the Lord. If you ever really see God as God wants you to see Him. If you ever really hear God as God wants you to hear Him. If you ever really experience God as the Lord wants you to experience Him. Brother John, you'll live a submitted life. You'll yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. You'll turn your life over to Him. You'll let Him have His way in you. The Lord's looking for us to submit to Him. Get rid of our old rotten will and stubborn way. And let Jesus be Jesus in me. No longer me, but Thee. Have resurrection power. Fill me this hour. Have Jesus be Jesus in me. And a result in submission. Have Thine own way, Lord. And finally, the results are a sense of wonder. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea doth obey Him? Amen. Cast your nets, Jesus said. They said, who is that fellow on the shore that's telling us we haven't caught no fish all night? And he said, cast the net on the other side. They brought in a drought of fishes. Old John said, fellas, I know who he is. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I saw Nathaniel upon the fig tree. I fell upon all of them. He comes to Jesus and he said, I saw you when you're sitting on the fig tree. He said, oh, Lord and Master. He said, you believe because I told you I saw you sitting on the fig tree. Greater things than these shall you see. Amen. Told Philip, or rather told Peter one night. He said, let down your nets and let's fish again. He said, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I'll let down the nets. And he let down the net and the net nearly broke. And Peter fell on his knees and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Oh, friend, there's a sense of wonder that comes into place when I
consider the stars of the heaven, the handiwork of the Lord. I say as the psalmist, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? How thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, that you've crowned him with glory and with honor. I tell you, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Brother Tom, I wonder, oh, I wonder how great thou art, how great thou art. When you see, there'll be a sense of wonder come in your life.
Acts 26 and 13, Paul never got over that light that shined. I mean, here he is nearly the end of his life. He's preached all over the place. Been on 3 missionary journeys. I mean, just done everything you could think of. He was a man who could speak 11 languages fluently. Had been a man of great power. Had been a man of great influence amongst both the Jews and the Greeks. Had to become everything to everybody that he might win some. Amen. He had debated on Mars Hill. He had debated the Greeks of the day and the men of wisdom. He had fought against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They'd nearly pulled him apart. He'd been in prison, been shipwrecked. All those things, but yet you know what he kept talking about? I was on the road one night when a light shined in my life. I tell you, he never got past that light. If you'll ever see God, every time he told about it, which was often, he was in wonder how God sought him out and how God shined into his life.
Amen.
I'm finished preaching. You can come on the song. I wonder this morning, have you seen and have you heard? All I can do is preach the sermon. It'll take the Holy Ghost to help you hear the Word. All I can do is tell you what Jesus has done for me. It'll take the Word of God becoming alive in your life, the sweet Spirit of God tugging on your heartstrings, your submission unto Him, for you to see it alive in your life for yourself. But blessed are they that see and that hear. I wonder, have you heard from Him this morning? If you've heard from Him, come and see what He can do for you. If His Spirit's tugged on your heart, come and see what He can do for you. Somebody said, it's Christmas. I got dinners planned. I do too. Me and you, neither one may eat no dinner today. And hey, this is the only church service we're going to have all week. Jesus' birthday is supposed to be about celebrating Jesus. This is the only one we're going to have all week long. We stay however long is necessary to see somebody saved. Amen. And if you're in a hurry, I won't get upset at you if you leave. You got something that's going to burn on the stove, I won't get mad at you if you leave. But if you need to get saved, I'm going to stay with you as long as what you need for me to, and pray for you and help you this morning as we try to pray together. I wonder now, friend, to all the churches in Asia, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He counseled the church at Laodicea to buy gold tried in the fire, and to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they may see. Hey friend, blessed is the eye that sees, the ear that hears. Have you heard the gospel today? Not just a sermon. The preacher ain't much and the sermon's not much, but have you heard the gospel in your heart? Harden not your heart. Ask Him to become in your life, become your Savior. If your sight's getting a little dim and it just don't seem you have the spiritual insight that you once did or that you seek to have, now is the time to follow Anna's example and pray. Be faithful. Be a minister to others and wait on God. Don't be weary in well doing, for a new season you shall reap. If you faint not, please stand if you need to pray. Come quickly to do business with God. Blessed are they that see. Blessed are they that hear. than right now. Couldn't be a better place to get saved than right here. I wish I could say I got saved on Christmas Day, but I don't. I'm just glad I got saved the day I got saved. Amen. But if the Lord's dealing with your heart, if He's stirring your soul, you need to be able to have that testimony. I got saved on Christmas Day. That's when God was dealing with me. I got saved. The Lord's turning your heart. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. Today is the day to get right with God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Oh, what a shame. He's mine. Do you need to talk to the Lord? Saint, sinner alike, do you need to come? Preach to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I started out preaching trying to make sure I was in a hurry to get everybody out on time. I give up on that about halfway through. Amen. Told them I tried to preach short over there because we had hard chairs. We got padded pews now. Praise God. Amen. It's a blessing to me to have you here. If you had any idea, if you just had any idea at all how much I appreciate you coming to the house of God, you'd use it as leverage against me somehow. But I love you, and it means the world to me that you're here. I appreciate your family being here, all the boys and girls. Nothing more important they could do today than what they're doing right now. That's right. You can let them run the batteries down on the toys later on. What they're doing right now is the most important thing they've done all day. Even if they don't understand it, this is the most important thing done all day. And I love you, and I appreciate you coming. Take some time to fellowship. We'll meet next Sunday. Next Sunday will be New Year's Day. We'll have a regular schedule services. They're going to have a party over at the nursing homes. We won't have a nursing home service next Sunday afternoon, but we'll have our regular Sunday morning, Sunday night schedule next Sunday. So take some time to fellowship. You can be dismissed. I appreciate so much you coming. A lot of churches are not having the what's not service because it's been on Saturday night. They're concerned about it's going up all night. Not coming to church on Sunday. So I know a couple of churches having Saturday morning service on New Year's Eve and a lunch. That's an interesting take on it.
It is. Well, this will be the first New Year's Eve in a long time, but we haven't been served. I like it.
I'm going to be in Maryville, Tennessee in a meeting on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and Thursday night. But they're going on through Friday night, but I can't stay. I've got to work Friday. I say I've got to. I need to. I could probably get off if I had to. But I'm going to have a number of folks off already.
You say a New Yorker?
So I'm going to work all day on Wednesday, drive up there Wednesday night, get service Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, drive back Wednesday night, and work Friday night.
Oh.
So I'm kind of hoping I'm not preaching on Saturday night. Appreciate you coming this morning.
Appreciate you.
Best president of the year right here. I had magic in
the average. The main thing I think about this year is whenever I bring a baby to town, she's like sitting on the cover. She's chasing me like a fool. But there's confidence when you go back and you get out of there.
The deal?
I don't know.
It's reminding me of my best one.
I ain't staying right
in
the front. Look, I have
to
know
ahead of
time
if
I bring
this coat. Sonia broke her ribs. I'm already riding out of the first device.
I'm going to go up there. one, so I like to go to.
Food in my refrigerator right now, brother. I need somebody to come eat it. We had Hudson barbecue last night.
A long time looking for
We had Christmas Eve over at our house.
Crowded.
All day.